of the Word of the King, we are going to be looking more at current events in light of Bible prophecy this week. And ultimately, if I was going to title this message, I would just title this message Discerning Both Time and Judgment in Light of Bible Prophecy. Discerning Both Time and Judgment in Light of Bible Prophecy. And remind you that if you have any questions or comments concerning what you hear on this edition of The Word of the King, just forward those to my email address at thewordoftheking@hotmail.com. That's The Word of the King, A as in Adam, B as in Victor, 1611@hotmail.com. The Word of the King, AV1611@hotmail.com. And if you would like to make any contributions to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, The Word of the King, via Sowers of Seed, and the PayPal account, I would always encourage you, whether you want to make any donations or not, as the Spirit leads, to check out our website at www.holinessholynessbibles.org. That's www.holinessholynessbibles.org. Here shortly as to how you can make those contributions also to Six Eyes Radio. And just want to thank you in advance for any gifts that you may give as the Spirit of God leads, and ultimately thank you above all for your prayers as I pursue God's will for me, and that includes His will for me here in the land of Israel. And also, I would encourage you to go check out The Common Sense Show. That's Dave Hodges, The Common Sense, S-E-N-S-E, show.com. If you just put that in your search engine and hit search, that should pull up Dave's link, www.thecommonsenseshow.com. That's www.thecommonsenseshow.com. So Dave Hodges, H-O-D, as in Daniel, G as in George, E-S. Dave Hodges at thecommonsenseshow.com. And then there's also Doug Thornton. Doug Thornton, T-H-O-R-N as in Nathan, T-O-N as in Nathan, dash American Vindicta. V-I-N-D as in Daniel, I-C as in Cat, T as in Tom, A, American Vindicta. That's the website of Doug Thornton. T-H-O-R-N-T-O-N. If you just put that in your search engine, Doug Thornton, American Vindicta. And you just hit search. That should pull up his blog at AmericanVindictaShow.com and also pull up his audios that he has at GSRadio.net. I was just listening to him and Dave some more. In fact, on this edition of The Word of the King a little later, we're going to listen to a clip that Doug did not long ago with this other gentleman, Chris Pinto, exposing none other than the Roman Catholic Jesuits and one of their techniques of warfare known as mass immigration and how it relates to the world, especially and particularly what has been going on in places like the United States of America with the open borders policy of Joe Biden, and also what has been going on also with the mass Islamic immigration to the United Kingdom and other parts of the world, and how that all relates to the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth, kings of the earth, mystery of Babylon the Great, there in Revelation 17:18. There's also the website of John McTernan at www.defendproclaimthefaith.org. That's www.defendproclaimthefaith.org. I was just on John's site a little earlier, and he was talking here recently on his blog about how more of the sexual perverts and infidels down in Washington, D.C. are being exposed to their sexual abominations, including Hillary Clinton, the Clintons, and their murderous ways as well. Be in prayer for Brother John Turner, of course, be in prayer for this world as we live in it and think, especially again, as they're doing everything they can to take down the United States of America so they can ultimately bring in their satanic New World Order. And shortly, we're going to listen to a clip done by Dave Hodges talking about how artificial intelligence is supposedly going to try to rewrite the Bible. There's also the website of Dr. Scott Johnson. Brother Scott Johnson, I was just listening to him not long ago. He posted some new things up that you can listen to via audio and PDF. You can read for the 19th of this month, 19th of June 2023. And you can go to his site, his blog at www.com. And then there's also the website of Mike Adams at www.naturalnews.com. That's www.naturalnews.com. And that Chris Pinto that you're going to listen to, Lord willing, a little bit later, exposing the Jesuits of Rome, he has his own blog as well. I have not checked it out yet, but I do intend on checking that out as well. And ultimately, make sure that you're staying in the Word of God, because ultimately, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And even so, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. We need to stay in the Word of God, so we're going to continue and abound in the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, to continue to bear fruit for His honor and glory, abiding in that true vine, who is none other than the Word manifest in the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And finally, if you would like to give anything in the way of a check or money order to the work here at the Word of the King, you may write that out, that check or that money order out to my Father after the flesh, Joel Groover. That's J-O-E-L, like the prophet Joel, Joel Groover, G-R-U-V as in Victor, E-R, and send it to the following address, 2976 Honey, H-O-N-E-Y, Valley, V as in Victor, A-E-Y, Road, Dallastown, D-A-L-L-A-S-T-O-W-N, Pennsylvania, 17313. And as surely as you send that, and I thank you even now, if God puts anything in your heart, my dad, my Father after the flesh, will see to it that that gets into my account. And a little bit later here, not too long from now, you're going to listen to a clip that Dave Hodges did. And also that clip on this thing of FedCoin and the CBDC and the push for CBDC, digital currency. Now, before I open this up in a word of prayer, Brother Kenny, if you would go ahead and if you would give the rest of the details concerning how individuals can give, not only the Holiest Bibles for the Blind and Sowers of Seed, but also Six Eyes Radio, please.
Okay, real quick, one more time. What was that title you said again, Tim?
Discerning Both Time and Judgment in Light of Bible Prophecy.
Okay, say it one more time. I didn't catch that.
Discerning Both Time and Judgment in Light of Bible Prophecy.
Okay, thanks. All right. If anybody wishes to give a donation to the ministry of Sow the Seed Ministries using a PayPal or credit card, it's easily done. Go to holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. That's HolinessBiblesfortheBlind.org. Once you're on there, you just click Sow the Seed Ministries, go down that page to where it says Love Offerings. There'll be a little picture of a heart right above the Love Offerings link right there. Click that, and you'll be on Tim's secure PayPal page where you can use your credit card or PayPal account to make your secure donation. And Tim Groover will be grateful for that. Also, if you wish to make a donation to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, use the same website, holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. Go straight down the home page to where you see the little heart at the bottom of the page, and it says Love Offerings. Click that, and you'll be on the Holiness Bibles for the Blind secure PayPal page where you can use your credit card and or PayPal account, and you can make your secure donation right there to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. If you wish to send a check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, that's easily done. Make any checks or money orders payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, sent to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, A-S-H-T-A-B-U-L-A, Ohio, 44005. Again, make any checks or money orders payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. Send to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio, 44005. If you wish to make a donation to the Six Eyes Radio Network, that also could be done through the Holiness Bibles for the Blind website. Just look right there for this section. It talks about the Six Eyes Radio Network. You'll notice it gives the Cash App information, which all you do is you go to Cash App, enter the information, $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, again, $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, and you just entered the amount of your love gift, and any amount, great or small, is greatly appreciated. And then, of course, there's a love offerings link right there for PayPal if you wish to use your credit card and or PayPal account to give a donation to the Six Eyes Radio Network. But if you wish to go directly to PayPal, you just enter the email address 6i6 at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. And, of course, you enter the amount of your love gift, and any amount, great or small, is greatly appreciated. If you wish to send a check or money order to Six Eyes Radio Network, you go and enter the email address 6i6 at gmail.com in your email program. That's, again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line, just put donation information requested. In your email, just indicate you're wishing to send a check or money order and need the pay to and snail mail information to send that check or money order. And once again, any amount given is greatly appreciated. And Six Eyes Radio Network, thank you very, very much. Amen.
Okay. Thank you, Kenny. Now I will open this up in a word of prayer. Not long after I get done opening this up in a word of prayer, I'll have Brother Kenny set off our first clip. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Holy Father, you are holy, holy, holy. We pray, Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, now for your Spirit, O Holy One of Israel, to go forth through this edition of the Word of the King, exposing the unfruitful works of darkness, magnifying your name, the name above all names, that name of Yeshua, that name of Jesus, whichever you shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord to the glory of you, God the Father. And now, Lord God, we pray, dear God, for all the saved souls, all the saints listening, Lord God, that they would be built up and encouraged to continue bearing fruit for your honor and glory, dear Lord God, so much so that they'll have to get purged to bear more, dear Lord God, as we continue to look for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And for those who have yet to be quickened by your Spirit, those who have yet to come to a saving knowledge of your only begotten Son, Father, today would be the day, dear Lord God, that them hearing this edition of the Word of the King would be the means whereby your Spirit working through your Word, but all the more grant them the gift of faith and grant them repentance, the acknowledgement of the truth, the goodness and kindness of you, the living God, leading them to repentance. And I thank you, dear God, for that goodness and kindness of you, the living God, which led me and all who have believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to repentance unto salvation, not to be repented of. And dear God, we thank you now. We do lift up the United States of America, Israel, the world, everything that's going on, dear Lord God. We ask you, Lord, even as you're still on the throne and you're in absolute control, dear Lord God, lift up, raise the standard, dear God, against these devils, against this spirit of Antichrist these latter days, we pray. We thank you that you'll be faithful to do just that according to your word. In Jesus' name we pray and give thanks. Okay, Kenny, first clip, please.
Hello, America. Dave Hodges here, host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. You better preserve your Bibles because they're on the way out. Oh, we'll explain right here on the show. First, let me tell you, we are brought to you by Ageless Multi-Collagen. This is part of the Train, Prep, and Pray that Doug Thornton and I talk to you about all the time. You want to turn back the hands of time. You want to be youthful. You want to regain use of your muscles, joints, and so forth the way it was when you were younger, you got to replace the lost collagen, because collagen destruction is what puts you in a bad situation, and you can do it. Proprietary process brought to you by BioTrust. No one else can do it, not legally. So what do? We're offering you ACE. It's a 60-day money-back guarantee, 53% off, and this will replace your lost collagen. Rediscover your youthful vigor. Get more energy. Go to healthwithdave.com. That's healthwithdave.com. I want to play for you a clip here. I'll just play the audio. The second clip will be Yuvaldi Harari from the World Economic Forum. Here we go.
But there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect.
It's an AI.
Yeah, we'll get to Harari in a second. That was from Matthew 24:24, saying, and I should entitle this, AI will rewrite the Bible. Here's Harari.
Making the decisions about us. So it takes power away from us. The third thing about AI that everybody needs to know, it's the first technology ever that can create new ideas. You know, the printing press, radio, television, they broadcast, they spread the ideas created by the human brain, by the human mind. They cannot create a new idea. You know, Gutenberg printed the Bible in the middle of the 15th century. The printing press printed as many copies of the Bible as Gutenberg instructed it, but it did not create a single new page. It had no ideas of its own about the Bible. Is it good? Is it bad? How to interpret this? How to interpret that? AI can create new ideas and even write a new Bible.
It is writing a new...
Yes, Gary. Gee, I wonder what writing a new Bible will be. Oh, give up your farmland. Stop production of food. We'll take care of you. Just give up all your rights. Give us all your money. You'll own nothing and you'll love it. So just stay on your property like a serf in the Middle Ages and everything will be fine. We'll take care of you. This is scary. This is worse than what China did, North Korea, Russia, with regard to Christians. This is worse. Look for the Bible at some point in time to be outlawed, be a capital offense if you have it. You heard Harari? We're going to create a new one. We're going to write a new religion as we try to destroy Christianity. For Matthew 24:24 tells us, even the elect might be deceived. Don't be deceived, ladies and gentlemen. Do not fall for this. This is why I'm telling you, you let CBDC come in, it's game over. Well, that's it for the Common Sense Show. Please share this far and wide. Thumbs up. Like us. Make sure you're a member of the CommonSenseShow.tv for the very best in investigative reporting.
Now, I learned here just recently that Harari guy, in case you maybe didn't already guess this much by his name, perhaps you did, but he's actually Jewish and he's actually Israeli, that Harari guy that Dave was referring to there in the context of what you just heard. And on that note, I'm going to read here from Romans chapter 1 and Revelation 22, but before I do that, I want to ask and I want to pose a question to you, dear listener. I want you to seriously think about this in preparation for a message that I believe God's going to have me do here in the not-too-distant future. But think about what you just heard there in that clip and what I'm going to read to you here shortly and what comments God's going to have me make on it in the process as you think and as you dwell on this question for the time being in your devotions and in your daily walk with the Lord. The question is this. What is it that drives sinful, unregenerate, fallen man to want to create and invent things? Again, what is it that drives fallen, sinful, unregenerate man to want to invent and create things? Because the Lord himself even showed me this today. And once the Lord himself shows you something, it's all too obvious. But I'll just throw that out to you, let you think on it now, take that to the Lord yourself and see what he shows you. In the meantime, Lord willing, I'll do a message on that, and we'll get into that very, and the answer to that question here, Lord willing, before too long, on one of these editions of the Word of the King. But in Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 14, down through the end of the chapter, verse 32, and I read the Apostle Paul, writing under inspiration to the church in Rome. I am better, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. The gospel, good news. Verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Faith, fabulous adventures in trusting him, him who is the Most High God, the Holy One of Israel, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, the great three in one. Verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may, for God hath shewed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. They changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Now I'm just going to pause for a moment, dear listener, and I'm going to encourage you. Make particular note, verse 25 there in Romans 1, as you meditate on that verse and you consider the question that I just posed a moment ago, we'll pose once again. What is it that drives sinful, unregenerate, fallen man to want to create and invent things? You just got done hearing a clip where, once again, using this time artificial creation, so to speak, of man, they want to change the truth of God all the more into a lie, in changing the very word of God, even as Jesus himself said of God's word, thy word is truth. Again, Romans 1:25, make special note of that verse and meditate on that verse as you consider that question in light of what you just heard. Verse 26 down through the end of chapter, verse 32, Romans 1, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even the women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. There's the female sodomite lesbian. Verse 27, likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, third in their lust, one to another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. And there's the male sodomite. And even if they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, faith, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, longing to do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. It's written, Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. God says, every sinner, you and me included, as sinners by nature, dear listener, we all deserve that. We are all worthy of that. As sinners, for all of sin comes short of the glory of God. Revelation chapter 22, starting in verse 17 down through verse 21, the end of the chapter. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will but him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. As any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And on that note, I would just say, woe unto you, inventor of artificial intelligence, woe unto you who through artificial intelligence would seek to add or take away from the words of the living God. You got nothing. That's all Lake of Fire. Look forward to. Next clip, Kenny.
Before we do, Tim, I had something, as I told you, I wanted to add to this, okay? Okay, many people misunderstand. There's a misnomer about artificial intelligence, okay? The word artificial, actually a misnomer and a lie, okay? See, when the human as they grow from a baby into adulthood, they gain their intelligence by trial and error, okay? I mean, the human baby learns to walk not just because he just came out of his mama's womb and then bingo, started walking. He started by trial and error, by rolling over onto his belly, and then realizing that by pushing up on his arms and legs, he could crawl. Well, as he learned to crawl, then he realized after falling a bunch of times that he could maneuver in the environment. Then, next thing you know, after bumping his head by crawling too fast, bumping into tables, chairs, you name it, he realized, wait a minute, I have to be more careful in my environment. Then he realized, okay, by grabbing onto a table leg or whatever, he could pull himself upright to his 2 feet. Then he realized, okay, if I let go of that chair leg, staying on my feet, I could take a few steps with just my 2 feet. I don't have to use my arms. Then he'd fall down a bunch of times. And then eventually he learned to walk and then finally run. But it took a lot of errors to make him run and walk. He also learned that he couldn't scale or walk up a cliff that's up and down. He knew that that the only way to do that is to use a rope or something like that to help him climb that kind of way. He couldn't do it just by walking normally. Well, a, quote, artificial intelligent machine, it has to have a program that automatically tells it that using its radars to say, okay, well, this cliff is so deep, it drops at a certain rate. Okay, don't go off this cliff. It's already put into the program. So somebody who's already intelligent had to put it into the program. So being artificially intelligent is a phony name. Somebody already put the intelligence in there and said, okay, don't do this, don't do that. We're already telling you what not to do, machine. So it's a misnomer. That machine didn't learn by trial and error for itself. Somebody gave it the initial programs to do what it's doing. It didn't learn for itself. So artificial is a misnomer. It didn't learn for itself and then gain its own intelligence. No, it's fake intelligence. It's inputted intelligence that somebody else put into the machine that then the machine goes off of a program that's pre-put in. So if they put in all of these programs and then they implant the different versions of the Bible and the original Greek manuscripts and the Greek original Hebrew manuscripts, and then it goes through all of this process and then it comes up with a so-called Bible, another Mickey Mouse Bible, it's because it wasn't done because it learned to read like the human child from the beginning, where it first learned to guttural sounds, then put those syllables into words, and finally say mama and papa, and then realized, okay, those words could be put together with other words into sentences. Mommy, I want a drink. Daddy, I'm hungry. And thus being understood for its needs. And then later go to school and realize there were letters that could be put together into words and sentences and paragraphs. That machine didn't know. Somebody already put that junk in the machine already. So it's phony intelligence. I just want the listeners to know that. All right, here we go with the next clip.
Hey, everybody. Dave Hodges here, host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. And we are brought to you by Virtual Shield. Virtual Shield can virtually protect your, well, they can protect everything you have with your devices. And it works on all devices. And what does it do? It keeps the bad guys out, particularly the federal government. That is, well, you've seen all the raids they're doing and seizing this and seizing that and spying on your software. It's incredible what's happening. So Virtual Shield encrypts everything, and they change your IP address and your location every millisecond. They can't keep up. They can't stop the encryption. This is why the ATF is going to force raids on various establishments so they can get the records that they can't get illegally in your computer. Virtual Shield stops all that. Stops unwanted ads, too. They are a tremendous organization. They're giving you 73% off. They're giving you, they give you a 30-day free trial. Additionally, they know you're not going to leave, so they make you the best deal in the industry for the best product in the industry. Go to hidewithdave.com. That's hidewithdave.com. You will not believe what is going on in Montana, and if you've heard of this, the chances are, if you're like most Americans, you're underestimating the threat. Not as only is this illegal in violation of the Second Amendment, what's going on, but also what's going on, it's preliminary for not just gun confiscation, but going after gun owners. But we're going to get into this here as Montana Attorney General is in this now. Austin Knutson has said the ATF and IRS is showing up, and they've got dozens of boxes of Form 4473 that they're seizing from gun manufacturers. And it's interesting because they're targeting gun stores that sell guns that Biden doesn't like. Well, if the gun's legal, it doesn't matter whether he likes it or not, but these people have been singled out for special harassment. But let's talk about where this is ultimately headed. Getting the gun's registration is a matter of targeting people you want to target with information that you have no legal right to know. And all of these people in Montana, they're at risk. No-knock, SWAT team raids. How many of those have gone bad? And when gun confiscation happens, I'll refer you again to the University of Hawaii Democide Project. They asked two questions in their initial research that's gone on for decades. One, what's more deadly to the population, government or war? Government by far and away. And two, are there predictors of genocide committed by government? Yes. The number one predictor is gun confiscation. And we need to be asking, where's Congress? Why aren't they stopping this? This is ultimately more important than Biden's corruption, because this is a direct threat to your ability to be able to defend yourself. We need to scream loud and long and be harassing constant communication with people who can change this, namely your reps and your senators. Let's get to work. That's it for the Common Sense Show. Please share this far and wide. Thumbs up. Like us. Make sure you're a member of the CommonSenseShow.tv.
It is written, Matthew chapter 16, in verse 21 down through the end of the chapter. From that time forth, began Jesus to shew unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. And I tell you, dear listener, if you have not yet done so by the grace of God, For by grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before ordained that we should walk in them. Repent ye and believe the gospel, the good news, how that Christ, God manifest in the flesh, died for our sins, according to the scriptures, was buried, and rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. Romans 10:13 declares, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 23 of Matthew 16, but he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savest not the things that be of God, but those things that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what does a man profit? He shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul. Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom.
You ready for the next tip, Clem? Clip, Tim?
Yes.
Okay, here we go.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Cruz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Every day, the disaster on our southern border continues to get worse. This disaster is a true humanitarian crisis, and it is the result of deliberate political decisions by Joe Biden and Kamala Harris that have inflicted unspeakable horrors on millions of illegal immigrants. 6.6 million illegal immigrants have crossed illegally into this country since Joe Biden became president. And it is, in particular, done enormous damage to children. We're here today because the Biden administration has utterly failed. It has failed to secure the border, and it has encouraged parents to send their minor alien children on a dangerous trip to the United States unaccompanied. And it's failed to protect these children after they were let into the United States. The Democrats running this committee have also failed. As we're holding a hearing to discuss the issues facing HHS's placement of unaccompanied minors, but we don't even have a single official from HHS here to answer our questions. Javier Becerra should be sitting right in the middle of this panel, under oath, being forced to answer difficult questions about his absolute dereliction of duty when it comes to caring for these kids. But the Democrat leadership of this committee doesn't want Secretary Becerra to face those hard questions because it would reveal his utter negligence and the children who are being harmed as a result. And so the absence of HHS is not an accident. It's not an omission they just forgot. It's a deliberate decision. Let's protect the Biden administration from accountability. And concomitant with that decision is a decision to say the children being harmed are not important enough to the Democrat senators on this committee to overcome their partisan desire to play politics and protect the Biden administration from the consequences of their own failure. Take a look at this image. This image was captured from a video shot in El Paso on March 24, 2023. Where a smuggler abandons a one-year-old child, a Guatemalan boy, on the riverbank. This one-year-old child has now entered the unaccompanied minor alien child system currently administered by the Biden Health and Human Services. According to the Department of Health and Human Services, approximately 127,000 unaccompanied minors entered the United States during fiscal year 2022. So 1 year, 127,000 kids all alone. 2021, again, according to HHS, 107,686 unaccompanied minors entered the United States. Compare that to the last year of the Trump presidency, where that number was approximately 30,000, a seven-year low. Now, let me be clear, even one child in the custody of human traffickers is horrific and wrong. But 127,000? This administration, no wonder Secretary Becerra is too scared to sit there. He should be embarrassed of that record. Health and Human Services received $7.8 billion last year just for unaccompanied minor children. Troublingly, on February 24, 2022, HHS admitted in a letter to Representative Andy Biggs that it could not contact approximately 20,000 minor children it placed in 2021. In 1 year, 20,000, it just lost them. No wonder Secretary Becerra is not sitting at that table. On March 22, 2023, Senator James Lankford pressed Secretary Becerra on a portion of the New York Times expose indicating that HHS had failed to account for 85,000 previously placed alien children. Becerra disputed the question, saying it was unrealistic, but he failed to offer any concrete evidence or data or statistics. On April 25th of this year, I joined Senator Marco Rubio and my colleagues in a letter addressing HHS failures on this score, which actively highlighted the fact that the Biden administration loosened vetting, fired HHS staffers who filed complaints, and ignored HHS contracted organizations who voiced concerns. After the New York Times published a second expose, the administration announced the Department of Labor was taking action. What action? Action addressing child labor. Well, child labor is abhorrent, but how about the hundreds of thousands of children who are being smuggled in by human traffickers, who are being abused, who are being sexually abused, who are being physically abused, and whom the Biden administration has lost? This is a humanitarian crisis, and it is a man-made crisis produced by political decisions from this White House. And every American, whether Democrat or Republican, should be horrified at the state of affairs.
Thank you to the witnesses, members of the public who are here today, members of the committee who...
Okay. Dear listener, when you listen a little bit later to the clip with Doug Fortin and Chris Pinto talking about the Roman Catholic Jesuits and the whole matter of mass immigration and how it's part of their, you say one of their methods of warfare in their counter-reformation efforts. Keep in mind what you just heard there, that clip there with Ted Cruz, because, again, practically all those individuals, for the most part, safe to say, 80% of them easily, they're all Roman Catholic that are coming through that border. Keep that in mind again when you listen to that here a little bit later. But right now, we'll quickly read Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 11. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, "Verily," again, that word verily means truly, and said, "Verily, I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. And on this note, I would just quote the commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. Jesus said, whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with him already in his heart. Hello, pornography addict. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, put your faith in him and his shed blood alone, thou shalt be saved. Verse 10, take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. Okay, Kenny, next clip.
statutory changes, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Ossoff. Senator Cruz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Gentlemen, every day when I'm home in Texas, I hear from Texans who are deeply dismayed about the growing politicization and weaponization of the Department of Justice and the FBI. If you are not, every one of you should be deeply concerned about the damage being done to the integrity of the institutions in which you operate. My office hears regularly from FBI agents and from assistant U.S. attorneys who are likewise concerned about the politicization and weaponization of the Department of Justice and the FBI, and this is profoundly damaging to the rule of law in our nation. Last month, a whistleblower brought to light the existence in the FBI of a report, an FD 1023, in which the informant alleges that President Biden and his family members engaged in a $5 million bribery scheme during his time as vice president. Deputy Director Abadi, is it true that the FBI has a report making those allegations?
I'm not going to comment on that, Senator.
And why is that?
I'm just not going to comment on information we received, investigations.
Do you owe an obligation to the American people to be candid about evidence of corruption by the President of the United States?
This is an area that I'm not going to get into with you, Senator.
Well, I understand you don't want to, and that's why people are mad at the FBI, because you're stonewalling and covering up serious allegations of evidence of corruption from the president. Yesterday, Senator Chuck Grassley stood on the Senate floor and alleged that there are 17 recordings of this informant from Burisma, Ukrainian natural gas company. 15 of them are recordings, voice recordings of him talking to Hunter Biden. Two of them are voice recordings of him talking to Joe Biden. Deputy Director Abate, does the FBI have 17 voice recordings laying out evidence of a bribery scheme?
Senator, I would add also that we've worked with the House Oversight Committee.
Yeah, this is the Senate. We're the other side of the Capitol. This is the Senate. Do you have those 17 recordings?
I'm not going to comment on any investigative matters, Senator.
See, that's the problem. The FBI, and I've had this conversation with Chris Wray, too, this is why you are damaging the institution. The American people have a right to know whether there is serious, credible evidence that the President of the United States took a $5 million bribe. And by the way, if it's false, Chairman Durbin just rolled his eyes. If Chairman Durbin were interested in the rule of law, we would have a hearing on these allegations. But, of course, the Democrats don't want a hearing on these allegations. And to be clear, if the allegations are false, you know who could disprove them? Joe Biden. He could call for this to be released publicly. But the FBI is stonewalling. Would you agree?
Two things, Senator. No one's stonewalling. The 1023
you just said you refused
was provided
to answer the question.
In response to a subpoena.
Okay, then why don't you refuse to answer my question?
The pertinent information is there, and I reject your assertion that the FBI
is politicized. Why did you refuse to answer my question?
I just answered your question.
Okay. So, yes, you have a 1023. Do you have the 17 recordings, yes or no?
I'm not going to get further into this.
So you're stonewalling. You can't say I'm not refusing to answer your question, but I won't answer your question.
I'm going to answer within the parameters that we operate in.
That's the problem. The FBI has right now an unlimited hubris that you believe you are unaccountable. You don't believe you're accountable to the United States Congress, and you don't believe you're accountable to the American people. And you are doing damage. The FBI is a great institution. When I go home to Texas, people ask me, should we abolish the FBI? Now, I tell them no, because you have heroes and patriots working for you that are catching child predators, that are catching terrorists. But you're sitting there happily erecting a wall to protect Joe Biden. Will you provide to this committee, not the House, the Senate Judiciary Committee, will you provide the FD 1023 and will you provide the 17 recordings so we can assess what is the evidence, the specific credible evidence that Joe Biden personally took a $5 million bribe from a foreign national?
Senator, we will work with this committee, you and other members, to provide the information within the parameters of the process.
Will you provide the FD 1023, yes or no?
I will take that back, and we will work with our
team. So you're not answering that. Will you provide the 17 recordings?
we will take that back and we'll work with you.
So you're not answering that either. Did you investigate in any way, shape, or form these allegations?
Senator, once again, I'm not going to comment.
So you're not going to say whether you did your job?
We do our job to the very best of our ability.
Well, not here. You're not answering a single question to the American people. And you may think this is esoteric. I promise you, millions of Americans are concerned. You know who isn't concerned? Not a single Senate Democrat. We're going to go through this whole hearing. Not one Democrat will ask a question about this. You know who else isn't concerned? The corporate media, who is joining with the Democrats in covering up this evidence. If Joe Biden is innocent, the evidence should be made public and demonstrate that he's innocent. But if he is not, is it true this informant who alleged that he personally took a bribe was an informant the FBI had relied upon previously in other investigations? Yes or no?
Senator, in each and every investigation that we have, all the work that we do,
I ask
the expectation is that every logical avenue investigation be pursued.
I ask you a yes or no question. Are you going to answer it?
Yeah, I'm answering your question.
Was the informant one you had relied on previously in other investigations, yes or no?
Senator, we run down every piece of information.
You're not answering it then. You're refusing to answer. So you're refusing to answer the question.
To the fullest extent possible.
You're refusing to answer the question.
Senator, in all instances.
Senator, you're talking about
disgraceful. It's disgraceful, Deputy Director Abate. Disgraceful.
Senator, your time has expired. Senator Tiltz.
Chairman, I think Senator Blackburn goes before me, or Senator Welch. I appreciate the opportunity. But
thank you, Senator Tillis. Senator Welch is next.
Jeremiah chapter 17, starting in verse 5, down through verse 10. Jeremiah 17, verses 5 through 10. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. It's written in Psalm 118. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Jeremiah 17, verse 6, down to verse 10. For he shall be like, verse 5, Jeremiah 17. Again, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see good, shall not see when good cometh. But shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabit. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Beware, dear listener. Your own heart will deceive you. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In verse 10 of Jeremiah 17, I the Lord, search the heart, I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. It is written in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Kenny, we got the midway song next.
I think let's find out.
Seconds.
The next day, it's a Dave Hodges thing.
Yeah, with the CBDC. Okay, yeah, go ahead and play that.
Okay, here we go.
Hi, Dave Hodges here, Free America, One Enslaved Minds of Time. You can also share our digital broadcast. We far and wide do that because we need to grow the size of our numbers of resistance. Who can stop this? We can stop this insanity. Look what's happened with Bud Light, Target Disney. Okay, it's just the power of the people, and we can do it. So, yeah. We are brought to you by Virtual Shield. The very best in computer protection is Virtual Shield. They encrypt everything. And on top of that, they move your IP address in a millisecond. They move your location. They constantly keep it on the run. Can't keep up. And you must be so country. Well, 73% off a rifle. No, you're not leaving. 30-day free trial. Go to HideWithDave.com. That's HideWithDave.com. We are almost out of time. The Fed coin is ready to roll out on the 1st. Immediately on the heel from what we're doing, the Federal Reserve has already approved bringing in central bank digital currency. Now, we're hearing all about these deployments around the country, but listen, some of the sources are not reliable, some are. I don't know what the truth is. We're looking into it. Doug Porter and I are going to be investigating this in the broadcast. However, it could be a dry rehearsal. Dry run, right? Because what will the people do? It's going to be a lot easier to stop it than try to overturn it. So what I'm asking you to do is threaten your representative's job in the primary election. Do the same with your senator. Don't waste your time on Biden. Everything he does is bad for America. It's about the only option we have. Unless those troops who are allegedly being deployed are brought into action. That's it for the Common Sense Show on this particular segment. Just wanted to basically give you a heads up of what's going on. We've got a really good TV show, the Common Sense Show.tv. Sign up today.
So, dear listener, in case you were having a little trouble there, maybe understanding a little bit of that there. What they were saying was, is as of right now, according to what he's hearing, on the 1st of next month, they're supposed to come out with this thing called the Fed coin, and the Federal Reserve has already approved of it, and it's basically, you could say, like a beta test in preparation for the CBDC, or the digital currency. Dave, he was also encouraging, in case you did not hear clearly, he was encouraging, particularly those of you who are in the United States of America, to call up your representatives and tell them you want nothing to do with CBDC. You want nothing to do with digital currency because ultimately, as Dave has been pointing out frequently there at the Common Sense Show, and I'm sure Brother John McTernan has been in his own way also pointing out on his blog, Defend Proclaim the Faith, as well as others, once they come in with such a digital currency, the purpose is to basically track every cent, every dollar, every bit of currency you spend. And if they don't like how you're spending your money, well, then they just shut off your finances. That's all there is to it. They don't let you have access to your finances. But ultimately, as for where this is all headed, the Word of God is very clear as to where this is all headed in Revelation chapter, starting in verse 4. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. 1 John 5:7 declares, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost. These three are one. And this beast, powered by the dragon, in unison with the dragon, are blaspheming all three members of the Godhead. Verse 7, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints, to overcome them. The power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Verse 8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. Captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And you just jump down, verse 16, 17, 18, Revelation 13. Again, we're talking about where he's bringing in with this Fed coin as a beta test, this digital currency, this CBDC, and where it's all heading prophetically in God's timing. And he calls us all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. So again, I would encourage, especially those of you in the United States of America and anywhere else in the world where they try to come in with this thing of CBDC, digital currency, let your representatives hear it. You're not interested. You don't want it. Okay, Kenny, go ahead, midway song.
And that's what it is, Tim. So here we go. one that'll get you hopping and tapping to the beat. Here we go. Dance for Jesus.
It is written, 1 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 8 down through verse 11. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel, the blessed God which was committed to my trust. Romans chapter 5, verses 8 and 9 declares, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Justified, stand before God, just as if I'd never sinned. Acts 4:12 declares, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Romans 10, 9 and 10 declares, but if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 6, and the word of the king declares, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom payment for all to be testified in due time. So you and I, dear listener, by grace and faith, and that not of ourselves, would not have to pay the price for all of eternity in a lake of fire. In verse 5, verse 52 declares, there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Not Mary, not some sinner dressed in a religious robe or any other so-called saint, but the man, Christ Jesus, God manifest in the flesh, the Son of God, Son of Man. Now, as Kenny is going to play now this next clip, keep in mind, everything you heard, Ted Cruz, that clip where he was talking, rebuking the FBI, exposing the FBI, the corruption within the FBI. And remember also, dear listener, that when these Roman Catholics get into high places like that in the FBI, the CIA, and and in positions of government like Roman Catholic President Joe Biden, their first allegiance, they're taught that their first allegiance is not to their first allegiance is to none other than the hierarchy of the Roman Catholic Church, which, of course, is the Vatican itself and the Jesuits. As you could say, the Vatican, jihadists of the popes, hitmen. Keep that all in mind. And as you listen now to this clip from this Doug Fortin, American Vindicta, and with this Chris Pinto, as they talk about the Roman Catholic Jesuits and the mass immigration warfare. Okay, Kenny.
Gentlemen, welcome to American Vindicta. Today we have on with us Mr. Chris Pinto. We are going to be talking about the ending of Title 42 on May 11th and the circumstances that have led up to the mass migration, immigration, invasion of America, as you would say. And we are going to talk about the repercussions of everything that goes forward. So, Chris, without further ado, thanks for being on the show. And you wanted to inform everybody about the, I guess you would say, secret mission from the Jesuits to invade America, if I'm correct, to invade America with mass migration that would cause chaos upon the people of America and our economy. Am I correct in saying that, or is there more to it?
Well, generally, I mean, there's certainly more to it. I would say, you know, not just the Jesuits, but really the Vatican and the Catholic bishops. The hierarchy of Rome. I also think it's important to make the distinction, which I've heard made by other researchers many times over, that the average Catholic person does not support anything like this. You know, so the average Catholic conservative in our country would not really support illegal immigration. But those who have these left-wing leanings towards socialism, just like anybody else, they tend to support it. But what I talk about on my radio program is the fact that this immigration warfare, which is what this is really called, goes back more than 100 years. Goes back to the late 19th century, where we were warned about this by a Catholic priest named Father Charles Chinnike, who was a personal friend of Abraham Lincoln. He was actually a very famous man. In fact, I just did a radio show talking about this, and Chinnike, when he converted to Protestantism, he eventually became a Protestant, but That was news that made the front page of the New York Times back in 1858, I think the year was. So he was very famous. He was a Canadian Catholic priest. He was known for the temperance movement, where he was opposing alcoholism and people getting drunk and this kind of thing and ruining their lives over alcohol. But then he came to America. He was the founder of St. Anne, Illinois, the town, the city, the village of St. Anne, which is still there. And he became the close friend of Abraham Lincoln before Lincoln became famous, before he became president. And so he had this ongoing relationship with Lincoln, and then he went to visit him several times after he was in the White House. And he actually warned Lincoln that there were plots to assassinate him, to kill him. There's a whole series of books written about this. In fact, I've got a couple here. The one by Chineke is called 50 Years in the Church of Rome. That's one. Another one, which that's probably the most famous one. Most people talk about that. But the one I like to tell people about in addition to that is this one, which is called Rome's Responsibility for the Assassination of Abraham Lincoln by General Thomas Maley Harris. General Harris was a Union general, a brigadier general in the Union Army during the war, and he served under Abraham Lincoln. And he actually sat on the committee as one of the investigators investigating Lincoln's assassination. And he came to the same conclusion that Chineke did, and that is that the Vatican and Rome ultimately were responsible for the death of Lincoln, for the assassination. And that John Wilkes Booth and the other conspirators, they were all instruments, really, of the Vatican and the Jesuit order. The thing to remember about the Jesuits are that the Jesuits are an intelligence network. They're a spy network. They're like the CIA or the KGB. And that's not because I say so. Anybody could go online. If you were to go online and look up E. Howard Hunt, E. Howard Hunt was a very famous CIA agent during the Watergate era. And there's a documentary where E. Howard Hunt is being interviewed, and he's talking about the Catholic Church operating down with the CIA in Latin America after World War II. And he's talking about getting certain information from the Catholic hierarchy. And he says we don't know how it is that the hierarchy gets their information, but he says we've always said that the Jesuits form the most extensive intelligence network in the world. Okay, so that's acknowledged. If you look up E. Howard Hunt, he's one of the most famous CIA agents in the 20th century. But for him to say something like that, to acknowledge that, really just affirms what so many different history books would tell you about the Order, that they are a network of spies, assassins, and they're involved in covert activities in our country and around the world. But anyway, one of the things that Chineke warned about in the 1800s was that the Catholic bishops met and they had a plan to try and get control of America through mass immigration by having all of these Catholic immigrants come from different countries. Ireland was the principal country back then, but other countries in Europe. And this warning, by the way, is well known. Anybody can look this up. If you just even look up on Wikipedia, not that it's the most reliable source, but whether that or any source on Charles Chineke, he was known for warning Americans that the Vatican was going to try and get control of this country and use mass immigration to do it. Use what they call in Rome irredentism. Irredentism. One of the people that I just interviewed for our upcoming documentary, Dr. Ronald Cook, and Dr. Cook is from Northern Ireland, and he's from the Ulster area in Northern Ireland. Now, if you look up the situation in Northern Ireland was Protestant for several hundred years, going back to the time of William and Mary in the 1680s and 90s. And so it was predominantly Protestant, But the Vatican didn't like that because they didn't want these Protestant heretics in Ireland, because Pope wants all of Ireland to be Catholic. So in the 20th century, they began this movement to try and de-Protestantize or get rid of the English Protestants in Northern Ireland. So they started moving all of these Catholic immigrants into Northern Ireland to build up a Catholic population and then start demanding shared power with the Protestant government there. And that's what sparked all of the conflicts with what are called the Troubles, you know, the bombings, the radical agitation. Give us the power we want, or we're going to blow stuff up and cause riots and all this other kind of stuff. Kind of like
the IRA.
The IRA, exactly. And Dr. Ian Paisley, who was like the leading minister in that country for many years, for decades, he always said that the Jesuits were behind the IRA, that they were the ones who were ultimately provoking and promoting this whole movement. But when I interviewed Dr. Cook and I was asking him about immigration into America and, you know, all of these Mexican Catholic immigrants coming in, I said, what do you think about this? And he said, what they are doing is just what they did in Northern Ireland. And he said they are using a method of warfare called irredentism, which is basically immigration warfare. You move a bunch of people into a country that you want to get control of, and then you use that foreign population to systematically take control of eventually everything.
If I'm correct, the IRA was communist, revolutionary communists. They believed in Marxism, Leninism. So if they were then propped up by the Vatican, would you say that the Vatican is also, I don't know if the word responsible is appropriate, but would you say that the Vatican then agrees to an extent with communism, helps the influencing of communism and the spread of it?
Oh, yeah, there's no question, brother. No question at all. In fact, here in modern times, even though the Vatican has a reputation of supposedly opposing communism in the earlier part of the 20th century, in modern times, you've had official statements from Catholic leaders in Rome openly stating that the communist Chinese government is the most ideal form of government for the Catholic Church. They've openly said that. You can even find that headline on the news. But one of the things that we're going to show in our upcoming documentary on the history of Rome and Jesuitism in the United States is the development of socialism and communism in the 19th century, because a lot of people don't realize that even back then, it was the Jesuits who developed the term social justice through a Jesuit priest named Luigi Taparelli in 1843. That's where the term social justice comes from. People hear it all the time, but they don't know its origin. If you were to go to a dozen Jesuit websites, you'd see references to either social justice or justice this, justice that. They're even pushing now vaccine justice, trying to get everybody vaccinated around the globe. Okay? So that's their terminology. You also have then in the 1850s, the great Protestant leader of Germany, Otto von Bismarck, published in the newspapers back then that Karl Marx, who was still alive, was working with the Jesuit general, a guy named Peter von Becks, and that Marx and the Jesuits were basically working together to foment socialism in Europe. Now, because of that, Bismarck ends up throwing the Jesuits out of Germany. He expelled them. This is not conspiracy theory. It's history. It's history they don't teach anybody in the schools. But anybody can find it out. You don't have to take my word for it. It's very well known. It's fully documented. There are also a number of books that were written back in the 19th century where you had Christian ministers who were warning by J.A. Wiley in 1881. Wiley, who wrote the great history of Protestantism back then, and he has a book called The Jesuits, Their Moral Maxims and Plots Against Kings, Princes, and Churches. And in that book, he says in 1881 that the Jesuits use communism as the weapon against countries they are trying to control. Okay? So this is in 1881. Prior to that, in 1860, you had Alexander Hislop, who was a very well-known minister. He wrote the book The Two Babylons, which many people are familiar with. But he also had another book called The Red Republic. The Red Republic. And in it, Hislop argued that the Jesuits and the papacy were developing socialism as a weapon against their enemies in the next generation. Now, of course, Hislop was big into teaching Bible prophecy, and so he relates the Vatican and the papacy and communism as being this scarlet-colored beast that shows up in the Book of Revelation. You know, the woman riding the scarlet-colored beast, the woman being a picture of Rome manipulating this communist world empire.
And scarlet being the color red.
Exactly. And Hislop made no bones about drawing the analogy that communism, which is represented by the color red, that that's the reason why. Because this is this, and when you study globalism, globalism is international communism. That's what
yes,
it is.
Absolutely.
And so here you got Hislop back in 1860. Remember, communism hadn't taken over anything yet. It hadn't gotten control of a country yet. You see what I'm saying? Marx published the Communist Manifesto 1848. So here you are in the 1860s, you're probably less than 20 years later, and you have Christian ministers, God-fearing people, who are exercising discernment, and they're warning people. There's a whole variety of ministers. I'm going to show them all in this upcoming film, or, well, maybe not all of them, but many of them, hopefully. But just present the quotes to people so they can see that we had churchmen warning about this probably 50 to 70 years before communism actually got control of places like Russia and China and then North Korea. And, you know, we've seen this wave of communist takeovers and revolutions in the 20th century. But what people don't realize, I think, is that the groundwork for that was being laid back in the 1800s.
So the mid-1800s, like 40s to 70s, 80s,
right?
That's going to be American Revolution, or excuse me, American Civil War. That's going to be the beginning of the Industrial Revolution, which I, looking back in history, I say is probably one of the biggest downfalls of America. The biggest uplifts and also one of the biggest downfalls, because that's when we sold the Constitution to bankers. I think what you're saying here is an interesting correlation, especially when we say communism, because, Chris, the problem with the word communism is that it's used so much that people don't actually understand what the rule of communism is. Communism, essentially, if you look back into old-time Rome, that is recreating an empire. And the guy in charge, you know, either the pharaoh or the emperor, that is the head president of every communist country, because he is de facto law and everybody else has to serve under him. And isn't it interesting that in South America, the amount of communist countries, to include Mexico as well, and to include Cuba, that are all communist countries, and they're all Catholic countries?
Yes. Yeah.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, I've had two speakers that have drawn that. In fact, what was his name? Tim Kaufman, who's a former Catholic, now a Protestant evangelical, but he made that comment when I interviewed him. He said, you look at these countries that are being given over, like Venezuela, Cuba, these Latin American countries, they're being given over to socialism or communism at different levels, and yes, they're historically Catholic countries. And it's because the hierarchy basically controls those countries. And what we have to understand, I think, as English-speaking people, we have to understand that not all Catholics necessarily want their countries controlled by the Pope. And historically, Magna Carta was written, if you get the book Rome Behind the Great War by John Kensett, who founded the Protestant Truth Society back in the late 19th century, but he argued that Rome was behind World War I. And he goes over the history of the West and how King John, back in 1214 AD, went and he met with the Pope's ambassador, a guy named Pandulf, and he took the crown off his head and he laid the crown at the feet of the Pope's ambassador, basically saying that the Pope will be able to control England through King John. Well, word of this got back to the leaders, the barons in England, and they were Englishmen. And the thing about Anglo-Saxon people is they don't like the idea of their country being controlled by a foreign leader. And so the barons, now this is 300 years before the Reformation, and they said, no, we don't want the Pope controlling our country. And they knew that the Pope wanted money. He wanted them to pay Peter's pence. And so this is why they got together with Archbishop Stephen Langton, and they wrote Magna Carta. And they included within it, no taxation without representation. Okay? That they were going to have representatives there with the king to prevent the king from fleecing them financially, economically, and sending their money down to the Pope in Rome. So this is why you got Shakespeare at one point. He has a line in the play, King John, where it says that no Italian priests shall either tithe nor toll in England. So the English have always been very, very staunchly opposed to the idea of Romanism or popery controlling their country, even back when they were Catholic. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
So it's not just because they became Protestant. The English Reformation goes on from there, and I think Magna Carta and then John Wycliffe, really laid the groundwork for the English Reformation that happened later on, you know, once Luther comes along and he nails his 95 theses. But these principles were being argued hundreds of years before it happened. And you look at what's happening to us right now in our country, what's happened? We've got agents who I argue really work for foreign powers. They work for the Vatican. They work for the European Union. They work for Mexico and China. But they're not really working for us. And they're taking our money, and they're just giving billions and billions of dollars away, like to Ukraine and this conflict there and to all these different countries and causes all over the world. But they won't use those resources where they're really needed here in the United States. And this is what I see, the way I see it, just looking at the, you know, the span of history from Magna Carta in 1215 right up to the present day. In many ways, we're having the same struggle that our ancestors had centuries ago. Does that make sense?
Yes. So one thing that I want to tie together, I think it's interesting what you're saying about Catholics. Once again, I'm not anti-Catholic for the people who have, you know, Catholicism as the religion. That's your own religion. That's your deal. But I think you can draw parallels here to extremism and the Catholic Church, the Vatican.
Mm-hmm.
You can draw a lot of parallels. Here, let's hear one. Popes Pius VI and VII during the Nazi Germany time. In Nazi Germany, the Catholics lived in the south, the Protestants lived in the north, and even though when the vote for the Nazi Party and Adolf Hitler was not a majority by the southern Germany and the Catholics, eventually it was the Enabling Act of 1933 that saw a majority center party, Catholic party of Germans who gave all domestic powers to suppress political opponents to Adolf Hitler in the Nazi Party. And they were supported by that. And in fact, it was the Vatican who also was surrounded by fascist Italy, Catholic, communist Italy, that the Nazis went and said, hey, we want your permission before we begin Dachau and all the other concentration camps, and was granted permission. And it was also the Vatican who helped in the rat lines to then take all of the remaining Nazis and push them into various different places around the world. But one of the biggest places they sent them was South America, which was, Chris, at that point in time, was a Catholic-based religion country.
Right.
Brazil, Argentina, Peru.
Yeah.
So it's wow, what an interesting correlation. And now sitting in our doorstep, on the U.S.-Mexican border, a Catholic country, by the way, a ruled by a communist dictatorship, which they call a president, and they're pushing through these hordes of people into, potentially, into our country. May 11th will be the first footstep of anywhere between 300,000 and 1.8 million people.
Mm.
Those are the estimates. And law enforcement has no idea what to do. They're panicking. I've been informed of a meeting where they are panicking. They don't know what to do. The Texas governor wants to shut down the border. They may have to shut down other means of transportation until they can export all the brand new Americans into America. Oh, by the way, we can't pay for them. It's going to kill our economy. 2030 is the end of Social Security, announces the Social Security Administration, what, about a month or two ago? We are going to run out of money for Social Security in 2030.
Well, of course. They're sending it all to Ukraine. But I didn't mean to interrupt. Now you're absolutely right, these connections that you're making with South America and Venezuela and that whole territory, that they smuggled the Nazis out of Europe through what they call the Vatican rat lines. There's even a documentary that I used to talk about years ago, but if you can still find it, they've almost scrubbed it entirely off the internet. But it is called The Last Refuge. And it was actually a short documentary done by Sam Donaldson, very mainstream journalist at the time. And he sat down, interviewed the guys who had discovered this whole thing, and then interviewed one of the former OSS spies who admitted that, yes, the OSS, working with the Vatican and MI6 over in England, that they systematically smuggled some 60,000 Nazi war criminals out of Europe after the war. And many of them went down to South America and Venezuela and so on. But and why? Because that has been Rome's Jesuit territory. I mean, what we're dealing with on the southern border and into America, you look at the people they put in charge like Mayorca and others, we're dealing with Latin American Jesuitism. That's what we're dealing with. That's why the current Pope, Bergoglio, is from Latin America, and the Jesuit general, Arturo Sosa, again, from Latin America. And what do they speak? They speak Spanish. Who was the founder of the Jesuit order? Ignatius Loyola, a Spaniard. And the reason they're speaking Spanish is because Spain invaded those territories and took them over. So there's this whole link to the very origins of Jesuitism, and they see themselves as the flagship order for the Catholic Church, even though they ultimately want to destroy historic Catholicism, and they want to destroy entirely biblical Christianity. But yes, they want to get control of America. I think there's no question. But what people should understand is that the Jesuits have been on American soil for over 400 years. You had Jesuit missionaries here even before the English colonies, and they were trying to get control of this continent. Well, what happened was the Spanish Armada was destroyed in 1588. That was their great power. The Armada, because you had the Huguenots, the French Protestants, tried to establish a colony down in Florida, in what is modern-day Jacksonville. And what happened was they were set upon by the Spanish Armada. They go in there. They defeat them. They defeated the Huguenots, unfortunately. And then they tried to forcibly convert the survivors, who said no, they wouldn't convert. So then they slaughtered them. They massacred them. And that's why you have down there Fort Matanzas. Fort Matanzas, the word Matanzas means massacres, because that's where they massacred the Protestants. You see what I'm saying? So because of the power of the Spanish Armada, the Protestant territories couldn't colonize the New World because they were intercepted and they were being blockaded and prevented. But then once the Armada was destroyed, that obstacle was out of the way, and that paved the way for England to come in and begin the English colonies.
I have a question for you. When you speak of Ukraine, 72% of Ukraine is Orthodoxy, 9% is Catholic, 2% is Protestant, 2% is other Christian, 3% is labeled as other, 10% consider themselves atheists, and then there's a gray line, 2% that doesn't know what they are. Is Eastern Orthodoxy Christianity the same as Catholicism? Is there a link to the Vatican? Because they seem to be similar, but they consider themselves to be very different.
Yeah, they do. They have very similar doctrines. I'm not as familiar with all of the doctrines of the Eastern Orthodox Church, but they are very similar, like their veneration of Mary, the icons of the various saints, and so on. They have a lot of similarities just in terms of what they believe. But there is a historic enmity and hatred between the two churches that goes back centuries and centuries. And when I say hatred, that I believe that's a key element for what's going on in Ukraine right now. Because the conflict is between Eastern Ukraine, which is generally Catholic, Western Ukraine, which is generally Catholic, versus the Eastern Ukraine, which is where you have the Russian Orthodox, even though they're all Ukrainians. But in the East, they are ethnic Russians who are members of the Orthodox Church.
Right. That whole Dnipro area, the Donbass region. And don't forget that the Azov Battalion, the neo-Nazi link for the Azov Battalion, comes from the Kiev area.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And if people don't know this, Ukraine at that point in time, during World War II, donated the most amount of manpower to the Nazi SS battalions.
Mm-hmm.
They had the largest amount of SS battalions out of the 33 different nations who donated troops. And so that's why you still see a very strong Naziistic, gosh, I don't know how we'd say this, lifestyle almost. I mean, if you look at all the videos that is being showed from the Ukrainian troops, the Z-Kyle salute is all over the place. I've spoken to guys that are special operations who were over there during the very beginning of all this, and they were over there to try and actually rescue children for child trafficking, because that's one of Ukraine's like big moneymakers is child trafficking. And they said that Nazism, everywhere, from the schools to the teenagers, the colleges, the mom and pop stores, they are still very much pro Adolf Hitler and the Nazi ideology, which is what we're funding, which is what the Catholic Church at one point in time was an approval of, even though Pius, I think it's 6th and 7th, didn't approve of it in the beginning. They ended up agreeing with it in the end.
Well, Pope Pius XII was Hitler's pope.
That's right.
Hitler's pope. And if you get the book Hitler's Pope, Cornwell explains that it was Pacelli, who was the Cardinal Pacelli. He becomes Pius XII. He's the one who brokered the deal with Hitler. And they had the concordat between the Vatican and Hitler that got, as you mentioned earlier, the Catholic Center Party to give Hitler his absolute totalitarian power.
Right.
That was all through the Vatican. Okay? And this, let me give you a quote now that we show in one of our films, but you can find it in the book, The Secret History of the Jesuits, by Edmund Paris. Paris was a French journalist, and he quoted from a communique from the Vatican to the Spanish dictator Francisco Franco on the day of Hitler's death, when Hitler died. And the Vatican sent a message to Franco and said, quote, Adolf Hitler, son of the Catholic Church, died while defending Christianity. And they declared Hitler to be a martyr. Now, when I first read that in Edmund Paris's book, I thought, wow, that is heavy. And then I stumbled upon a debate with the late Dr. Ian Paisley. Paisley is a very, very prominent guy over in the UK and very involved in the politics over there, but he was a Protestant minister. He preached the gospel relentlessly, but he was also a staunch opponent of Rome. He was known for denouncing the Pope as the Antichrist back in, I think it was 1988 or 98, back when Pope John Paul II came to the European Union. And but Dr. Paisley quoted from Edmund Paris's work and quoted that particular quote in particular. And scholars over in Europe, Protestants, they know that, yes, of course, the Vatican was behind Hitler. Of course they were. It was the Vatican that first set up ghettos for the Jewish people. Jewish ghetto. You had a Jewish ghetto in Rome for 300 years, all the way until the year 1870. That's where the whole idea of the Jewish ghetto came from. It was the popes that made the Jews wear yellow badges to identify themselves. That didn't come from Hitler. Hitler got that from the popes. You see what I'm saying? So people who knew what was going on, and they knew that history, it's why at the end of World War II, Churchill and Charles de Gaulle said, we've just come to the end of our second 30 years war. The first 30 years war was a struggle against Rome. And so they knew that Rome was behind a lot of the conflict that was going on with World War I and World War II. And what Hitler was trying to do was to become the Holy Roman Emperor. That's why they called it the Third Reich, because this is a reference to the whole idea of the Holy Roman Empire, and the emperor was the secular power that the Pope would control. So like when John Huss was burned at the stake, and then the Hussite Wars broke out, what happened was the Pope, Huss is burned at the stake, his followers are outraged, they have these uprisings, and then the Pope orders the Holy Roman Emperor to invade Bohemia and wipe out all the Hussites. You see what I'm saying? That was the construct of the Holy Roman Empire. So with the Vatican manipulating Hitler, it's the same relationship. You see what I'm saying? But it was happening in a much more covert manner.
So why is it that the Vatican now is trying to blend the three major religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam? Because you see the Vatican invading Protestant Christianity and trying to muddy the water constantly, but I don't pay attention to it too much, but I don't see the same type of manipulation for Islam as the Vatican does for Protestants. Why do you think that is, if you have an opinion on that?
Oh, yeah, certainly. Rome's number one enemy is Protestantism. The whole purpose of the founding of the Jesuit order was to launch the Counter-Reformation, which they did in 1540. And so the Counter-Reformation is to overturn the Protestant Reformation. Now, for the average person, people say, okay, well, why should we care about that? Well, the Protestant Reformation brought in freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom of religion, freedom of conscience, the right to bear arms, private property protections, due process, castle doctrine, that you have the right to defend your home. As we're watching these ideas be systematically overturned, you know, they're trying to overturn free speech by coming up with hate speech laws and saying if you insult Islam, we're going to put you in jail and things like that, or if you misgender somebody, you're not using the right pronoun and this kind of thing. These are all attacks on the fundamental principles of liberty that were won both by both word and deed on the fields of battle by our Christian ancestors. And you see, what they don't teach in our schools anymore, brother, and this is what it's why I made my film, The True Christian History of America, is that the principles of things like Magna Carta and free speech and publishing the Bible and reading the Bible, just having the freedom to read a Bible in your own language, these things weren't just declared by the reformers. They had to be fought for on the field of battle. I mean, Christian armies had to take up arms and go and fight wars for the freedom to preach the gospel. That's what the 30 Years' War was about. And what they've done is in the schools is they've just told everybody, oh, these wars of religion, that can, you know, the Catholics and the Protestants fighting, oh, we just don't need to even talk about that. And people don't realize those wars that were fought, they were fighting for all of the liberties that we take for granted today. It wasn't the American Revolution that defined those things. Those things were being defined all the way back in, you know, the 13th century. That's why no taxation without representation, that's Magna Carta. But they wrote it, but then the Pope and the King turned their back on it, and then the barons had to take up arms and go to war. They had to fight. You see what I'm saying? When Huss is burned at the stake, they kill a man for preaching the gospel, for preaching the word of God, and the Hussites, they're outraged. They took up arms. They fought. And then they published the four articles of Prague. The first article was the free preaching of Holy Scripture. You see what I'm saying? This is what's at stake with globalism, because the globalists, I believe globalism is an instrument of Jesuitism. And I don't just believe that, Doug, just because I happen to be studying the Jesuits right now, but because they themselves admit to it. Somebody sent me a link to a lecture at Georgetown University, which is a Jesuit university, where they had a professor there that they brought in. They said, well, we want this professor to give the history of the Jesuits, okay? You go watch the lecture from this guy. We've got a link to it on our Facebook page. You watch the lecture from this guy, and he openly admits that the Jesuits are the ones who developed, they were the first to develop globalism. And so the lecture is called The Jesuits and Globalism. And he argues that the first 30 Years' War was the attempt by the order to bring in a globalist form of government, because they were going to try and control all the countries of Europe. But he says, no, they were unsuccessful. They were defeated by Protestantism. And so that led to the birth of capitalism and the protection of the sovereignty, the national sovereignty of individual countries. And so that led to the Peace of Westphalia. That was the end of it. And what is called the Westphalian World Order. Now, how many people do you know who know what the Westphalian World Order was or is?
Probably very little.
Yeah. But that's, in contrast, the New World Order is really the removal of the Westphalian World Order, because the Westphalian World Order acknowledges the national sovereignty of countries. Anybody can look this up. I mean, it's just basic history, but they don't teach it. So right now, open borders, right? Hey, we're going to open the borders and just flood everybody with all these migrants. That is the rejection of. In fact, when there's an article that I quoted from on Tony Blair, because, you know, Tony Blair is a big-time globalist. And he worked with Bush, who was also a big-time globalist. And Blair is part of the World Economic Forum. He's still active there. But back when he was Prime Minister of England, the English newspapers had an article at one point, and they said that experts are referring to Mr. Blair as the beginning of the end of the Westphalian world order. So in other words, Blair, for some reason, which I don't completely understand right now, but I'm still piecing together the parts of the puzzle, but Blair really advanced the mass immigration of Muslims into England and so on, but Blair represented the idea of the beginning of the end of the sovereignty, national sovereignty of countries, countries in Europe, America, possibly all, probably all over the world, based on what they're planning to do. I mean, they want to have open borders for the entire planet. It appears. Now how they're going to manipulate this beyond where we're at today, I don't know. Right now, it just seems like they are using immigrants from these third world countries into the more developed countries to systematically take them over.
And it would appear that Donald Trump is the new Jan Hus, who is, you know, obviously a reformer in many ways. He's not an isolationist. He's a nationalist, believes in nations' rights and not open borders. Does in your summations, do you think Trump is an enemy of the Vatican, or is he a puppet like many claim?
Well, that's hard to say. I mean, I've gone back and forth on that. I mean, Trump went to Fordham University. Fordham University is a Jesuit institution. At least two of his kids, Ivanka and, not Don Jr., but his other son.
Eric
Trump, both went to Georgetown University. Georgetown University, of course, a lot of people go to Georgetown University. I always tell people, just because somebody went to a Jesuit institution doesn't necessarily mean that they are a Jesuit. And I said that for years before Trump showed up, because I believe it's true. But many people are. You know, they're conditioned by the order and their way of thinking when they are in those institutions. But there's like 28 Jesuit colleges and universities in our country. But Georgetown is the most influential. I believe it's the most politically influential institution in our country, because it's at Georgetown that they train the spies for the CIA through the Edmund Walsh School of Foreign Service. But anybody can look that up. But where Trump is concerned, see, when Trump started running and he mentioned illegal immigration, which nobody else was talking about, and he's saying, you know, they're rapists and they're murderers and they're not sending us their best and this kind of thing. And he said, I'm sure some of them are very nice people. And he goes on, and he's going after illegal immigration based on what I had studied up to that point, where, you know, in Islam, immigration warfare is the hijra. So the globalists are using Islamic immigration jihad. And then irredentism, that's Rome's version of immigration warfare, they're using both. They're using irredentism and hijra, and they're flooding all of these countries and trying to take them over.
Brother, I'm going to have to stop you right there. We're about to run out of time. I want to have you back on so that we can get back into this, because okay. we're just peeling off the second layer of this onion.
Yeah.
And I'll give you 2 minutes. What would you say is the most pressing thing that's going on right now that the Jesuits are trying, and where can people find all of your information at?
Well, I would say that, you know, to me, the number one issue, because it's the number one threat to the gospel, is the ecumenical movement, both theologically and politically. Theologically, because it denies that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man comes unto the Father but by him, and that Christianity is the only true religion, which our ancestors had always believed. So ecumenism denies that and tries to blend Christianity in with Islam and Hinduism and all these pagan belief systems. But the politics of ecumenism, then becomes, they say, and this began with Vatican II, they make that declaration, and then they say, well, because Christianity is the same as Islam, now we have to have Muslims running for office. We have to have Muslims in Congress. We have to have Muslim mayors, and they have to control the politics of the Christian world, or what had always been considered the Christian world. You see what I'm saying? So this is advancing politically the enemies of Christianity, the historic enemies of Christianity. So it's a form of invading our country and all the countries of the West, because ours is not the only one going through this. It's a form of invasion that's very systematic, it's very stealthy, it's deceptive, but at the same time, they don't have to fire a shot. You know, they don't have to actually raise up an actual army. Their army is this immigration system that they're, you know, infiltrating us with. So I think that's the number one issue. One, because of the gospel, and two, politically, it could lead to the disempowerment of Christianity in America and the Western world. And why is that important? Well, go look at the communist and the Muslim countries and how are they run. Do they operate on the principles of freedom? In my opinion, no, they don't. No, they don't. Christianity and God's law in the Bible is where the principles of liberty are taken from. So that's what I think is the most important thing. Now to my website, if you want to go, are you going to ask me a question?
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, we've got two main websites. One, we have our film site, which is at adullamfilms.com, A-D-U-L-L-A-M, films, like the Cave of Adullam in the Old Testament. Adullamfilms.com, where you can see our documentaries. And then our radio website is noiseofthunderradio.com, noiseofthunderradio.com. And we have our weekly radio show, our podcast. So those are my thoughts, brother.
Well, I strongly agree with just about everything you said. I can't find a reason not to. As usual, Chris, when you and I start to have conversations, I have a pad and pen, and my pages keep getting filled up. You know, and I'll post a lot of the stuff that you mentioned in here in the description below so people can go out and look it up. And, you know, ladies and gentlemen, get some of his DVDs while you can and educate the younger people of this world, of our generations, of what the past really was like so that we don't repeat it and it become our near future. But unfortunately, it appears that choice has been made for us. At least that's my dire opinion. So, Chris, thank you very much for coming on. Sorry I got to cut it short, but we'll have you back on, and I'll be traveling down south, God willing, May 11th, to go and actually document this historic day, the ending of Title 42, and to see the madness that's going on the border. And if you and I are lucky, we may catch up down there and really see what's going on.
I know. I'm trying to figure out if I can. In fact, I'm already making some arrangements and calculations so I can meet you down, not on the 11th, but hopefully sometime afterward, before the 18th.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, what's going on the border is very serious, and it can actually change the impact of your way of life. And that is what these people from the New World Order, I don't care what you label them, that is the goal, is to completely circumvent everything from the Constitution and to turn this country into a socialist, communist country. That's why we have socialists and communists now in Congress. So, God forbid. Ladies and gentlemen, that's all we got right now. My name is Doug Ford. This is Chris Pinto. And stay frosty. The enemy's out there. We'll see you next time. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, brother. We'll be right back.
From the World Economic Forum has said, you will own nothing and you will love it. And that's represented by what's going on across the planet today, where the economy of the world is in free fall, and nowhere is it more in evidence than with our own President Biden deliberately trying to sabotage what we have, access to food, other resources. So Americans are in a unique position, really for the first time in our history. We're going to have to provide for ourselves or subject ourselves to the whim of the government. Do you really trust a government to feed you that left 1,000 Americans behind enemy lines in Afghanistan? I don't think so. So where do you go? When you ask the question, who's the best prepper out there today? There's only one answer: Ready-Made Resources and Robert Griswold. I call him King Prepper. And that's how a lot of people think of him. You have everything there you'd want, from night vision to storable food, how to prepare cooking in emergency situations, books and videos on how to prepare alternative energy, communication, first aid that you wouldn't think of, natural antibiotics, you name it. Bob has it. Now, here's the good thing about Bob Griswold that no one else does but him. You don't have to buy anything to talk to him. If you're not sure where to start with your preparation, no obligation phone call directly to Bob. You can talk to him for free. Most people will charge you an arm and a leg for a half-hour conversation. That's not Bob Griswold. He cares about helping America get prepared. Go to readymaderesources.com, or you can call the number directly at 800-627-3809. Again, that contact information, readymaderesources.com for the best prepping outfit in the country, or call Bob Griswold directly, 800-627-3809.
Mountain State Survival covers your basis for your planning, prepping, evacuation, bugging in, or bugging out needs. They carry anything from educational material, camping supplies, emergency services supplies, food, first aid, survival kit and equipment, shooting gear, survival gear, tactical gear. They carry it all. They got it in stock. Give Mountain State Survival a ring. That's mountain-state-survival.com. Get this type of supplies while you still can. 304-517-6935. Mountain State Survival is one of the only places that I know of currently that is still carrying the delicious Peak Refuel meal that is ready to eat. It's personally the only thing that I eat at this point whenever I go out camping, whenever we have any type of emergency or disaster situation. That is the meal that I stick with, and you can find that at mountain-state-survival.com. Use Wrecker5 for a 5% discount on your overall purchase. That's Rekkr5, mountain-state-survival.com.
This show on the Heroes Nation app. Heroes Nation is the Heroes Nation app you can download in the App Store. It's up and coming. We got a lot of cool information on there. That is the main backup site so far for the American Vindicta Show. We'll also have some stuff on there that won't be on YouTube. It won't be on Rumble. It'll either be only on the GSRadio.net, who is the host of the American Vindicta Show, or it will only be an exclusive for Heroes Nation. And with that, I mean, you know, stuff that we're doing with the cave exploration, with the archaeological stuff. I'm going to start getting into a lot of paranormal talks and, you know, coming at that from my law enforcement and Christian perspective, and be having guests on, and that will be exclusive to Heroes Nation. So make sure that you give them some love. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, everybody, for supporting me. God bless you, and have a good day.
Okay, I would now, dear listener, read from The Mind of the Jesuit, Signs, Symbols, Dogma, and Doctrine by Nelson C. Turner. He has on the front of this Ecclesiastes 6, verse 4. For he cometh in with vanity and departeth in darkness, and his name shall be covered with darkness. And I read from page 41 of The Mind of the Jesuit by Nelson C. Turner, and I read, the Jesuit is a master at using men against themselves and is able to bewitch the unsuspecting down the road to destruction in the name of liberation. The liberation that these intellectual savages seek is liberation from God, Christ, the Bible, and all moral constraint. But it is never explicitly stated in those terms. Jesuit liberty is not freedom from sin, but a freedom to sin. Deviltry is practiced under the guise of charity. Greed is practiced under the title of necessity. Malicious war is touted. The act of love and raw carnal lust is deemed a work of the spirit. Murder is holy to the unholy, and perversion is pride, the pride of the profane. Corrupted kings, pervert pastors, lascivious legislators, and dancing divas all owe their purses and popularity to these men of sin and dance in unison, as the Jesuit general calls the tune. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted, going to and fro in the earth, walking up and down in it. The son of Belial finds no sleep, except he hath done some mischief and caused some soul to fall. The salvation the Jesuit general speaks of is the damnation of humanity, mired in multitudes of sins, for which are offered the unbloody sacrifice of the mass, which can never take away sin. And it is written in the book of Hebrews, every priest stands daily ministering and offering all the ways sins. Though in that context, the Apostle Paul was writing about the Hebrew Jewish people still offering up their animal sacrifices, you could say that that scripture was, in essence, also a prophecy of the Roman Catholic priests offering up their so-called offering in the Mass. And every priest stands daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. It's written in Hebrews 9:27-28. It's put in the men once to die, but after the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Let them look for him. Shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation? He was offered once for the sins of the world. Sinner friend, he was not offered many times, as they teach with their false Christ and that other Jesus of the beast of Rome. And starting in verse 1 down through verse 8. Jude, servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. The faith was once delivered unto the saints because Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Verse 4, Jude. For there are certain men, crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God to lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And right there in Jude 4 is the perfect definition of the Roman Catholic Jesuit and those who are in submission to spirits working through him, albeit the devil's working through him. Verse 5, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, and going after strange flesh, set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Jump down, verse 12, Jude, these are spots in your feast of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Verse 14, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these same. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouths speak of great swelling wars between men's persons and admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before to the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. Verse 19, these be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. And if you would like, I would encourage you to go to www.chick.com. It's www.chick.com. It's the website of Chick Publications. And you can just go there, click on Roman Catholicism, and you can not only read about and order a couple of those books that you heard about there in the clip, including Alexander Hislop's Two Babylons, and also Edmund Peirce's Secret History of the Jesuits, but other order and read, including the testimony of ex-Jesuit priest Alberto Rivera there at www.chick.com, the Ministry of Chick Publications. And now, Brother Kenny, if you would play our next clip.
All right, it's our next and last one for the day. Here we go.
My family is Catholic.
Both Catholic. I come from a very Catholic family.
Roman Catholic?
Yes.
I'm a Catholic.
I'm part of the Christian religion. One more Catholic.
You've had a Catholic background?
Yeah.
Are you a Catholic?
I am. I'm Catholic.
Raising me and my sister Catholic?
I am Catholic.
Catholic, yeah, Catholic.
Well, I'm a Catholic.
Are you Roman Catholic?
Yes, I am.
So when are you going to repent and trust in Christ?
Now.
As soon as I can. As soon as... Probably the interview done.
As soon as I can.
So when are you going to repent and put your trust in Christ?
As soon as possible.
So many Catholics seem to be coming to a genuine faith in Christ lately, and one main thing is responsible for that. We're going to talk about what that one main thing is in this video, but first, it's important to highlight what the main differences are between Catholicism and biblical Christianity. As you may have guessed from the word biblical that I just used, it all comes down to the Bible. Sometime around the 4th century AD, there were certain practices that began to creep into the church little by little and more over time. This resulted in a drift from the teachings and the practices that are found in God's Word. Some of these errors included the mixture of works with grace as a means of salvation, also the worship of carved images and the saints and Mary, the doctrine of transubstantiation, which teaches that the Eucharist and the wine become the actual body and blood of Christ, and the concept of purgatory. Now, there were genuine Christians within the church who tried to bring correction to these errors when they cropped up, and this eventually culminated in what's called the Protestant Reformation back in the 1500s. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Oh, no, not another hateful Catholic bashing video. Friends, nothing could be further from the truth. Listen, I grew up Catholic. I have family and friends whom I love dearly who are Catholic. And trust me, I have a lot of them. This is a mission of love. This is our attempt to tactfully, biblically, respectfully, and lovingly share the truth with our Catholic friends. Now, what typically happens when you ask some Catholics if they're born again? And you'll see.
Have you been born again?
No.
No,
I don't think so.
Did they tell you you need to be born again?
We're born again in, like, heaven.
No.
No, I was just raised Catholic.
Have you been born again?
Not yet.
Not that I know of.
No.
I don't think so.
I don't believe so.
I don't know.
Born again?
I have been born again. Born again since 25 years ago in Mexico, a town with all everybody Catholic, but they misunderstood the Bible. They misunderstood. I wish that everybody could understand how important it is to be born again.
Yeah, John chapter 3, Jesus said, unless you're born again, you're not going to enter heaven. Your Catholic Church should have told you that. He's not talking about being sprinkled as a baby or christened. He's talking about repenting and putting your faith in Christ for your eternal salvation, where the Holy Spirit enters you, you become a brand new person in Christ, you pass from death to life, God opens the eyes of your understanding, and gives you everlasting life as free gift. First time you were born, it was radical. When you're born again, it's just as radical, so you would know.
Ray is right. You must be born again. And Ray is right because he's repeating what the Bible says in John 3:3. You must be born again. In fact, unless a man is born again, he's going to wish one day he was never born at all. Ian Bounds said that, and I agree with him, because it is a fearful, frightful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, because God is altogether separate and different from his creation. He is holy. He is perfect. So repent and place your trust in Jesus Christ. Receive him. And the Bible says, for as many as received him, he's given them the right or the power or the authority to become a child of God. We are not all children of God. Only Christians who have received Jesus Christ are children of God. That's what John 1, verse 12 tells us.
Being born again is like putting on a parachute. Believing in God is like believing in a parachute. There's not much difference until you jump. You jump without a parachute, you're going to perish. Die without being born again, Jesus said, you're not going to enter heaven. So it's essential that we talk about being born again, because I want to see you in heaven, man. I don't want death to seize on you, and God give you justice.
Also, you're supposed to receive his body every Sunday. You're supposed to, technically, you're supposed to be receiving the body and the blood of Christ.
Did you hear what he said? Technically, you're supposed to be receiving the body and the blood of Christ. This is based on a doctrine that I referenced earlier briefly that's called transubstantiation, which teaches that the Eucharist become the actual body and blood of Christ. But the question is this biblical? First of all, Christ does not need to be sacrificed again and again. Hebrews 9:25-26 says, not that he should offer himself often, as a high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood of another. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Instead of Christ being sacrificed again and again, which in essence is what's happening in the Mass, Scripture tells us that this happened once. And that's it. Secondly, our Catholic friends oftentimes like to point to Matthew 26, verses 26 and 27 as a proof text that the elements within communion were the literal body and blood of Christ. This is a passage where Jesus was with the disciples and he said to them, hey, take, eat, this is my body, and take this, drink of it, all of you, this is my blood. My simple question to dear Catholics is this. When Jesus said that, where was he? I mean, had he died and had he risen again, and were the disciples gathered for communion and he can say to them, hey, basically you're sacrificing me again and this is my literal body and this is my literal blood. No, when Jesus said this to his disciples, he hadn't been crucified yet. He was with them in that upper room where they were having what's been called the Last Supper. So when Jesus said, take, this is my body, and hey, take, this is my blood, it had to be symbolic because he was there with them and he hadn't been crucified yet.
Jesus was not endorsing cannibalism. We take certain parts of the Bible literal where we are supposed to take it literal, and we take it figurative where we're supposed to take it figurative. Remember, Jesus also said that he was the door. He was not saying that he was an actual wooden plank with door hinges and a little doorknob. In fact, while we're on it, he also said, I'm the true vine. He was not saying that he is a literal branch with roots. Right? That is ridiculous.
Another text that Catholics will point to at times is John chapter 6, where Jesus talked about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. But they forget the fact that at the end of that discourse, Jesus said, the words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. He was speaking to them again in a spiritual and in a symbolic manner. In fact, this same truth is reiterated in our ministry's Evidence Study Bible, where Ray, in the commentary section, highlights this truth. He says, however, when read in context, the meaning becomes clear. Jesus went on to explain that he was speaking spiritually. By the way, you can check out this Evidence Bible that's packed with a lot more truth on a lot more subjects by clicking on the link in the description.
Do you believe the Bible?
I do believe in the Bible, yes.
And Satan?
Yes, I do.
Do you know what Satan does according to the Bible?
No.
Well, he's called the tempter, and he tempts us to do that which is evil. Lying, stealing, blasphemy, fornication, adultery, rebellion against God. Satan also blinds us to the truth of the gospel. This is what it says in the book of Corinthians, in whom the god of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of those that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. What does it mean that Jesus died on the cross?
Only him and God know.
So he died for me. Why?
He saw the good in humanity.
Maybe give his own life for his own true beliefs and trying to get a message out to God that people aren't as bad.
Why did Jesus die on the cross?
I don't have an answer to that.
That he died for our sins.
Yeah, but what does that mean? How does that affect you 2,000 years later?
The fact, I don't even know.
Why did Jesus die on the cross?
I don't know.
Like,
so you've been to many Catholic church services, and they haven't told you?
No, not really. They just say, like, he died to save us. They don't, like, specify why or what are going to happen to us or why. What if he saved us?
I think there's an afterlife.
No.
Why are you wearing a cross?
My mom gave it to me for a graduation gift.
What's the gospel?
I can't even really answer that.
Do you know what the gospel is?
It's like words of the Lord, right?
No. Have you ever heard the gospel?
Not that I know.
Again, the god of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of sinners as to the truth of the gospel. These precious Roman Catholics, who have seen paintings of Jesus on the cross, have sat in front of crucifixes for many years, have no understanding as to why he died. They don't understand the gospel. But watch what happens when they do. The good news is that Jesus destroyed death. The Bible says Jesus Christ has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. So I want to share the gospel with you, and the gospel will tell you exactly why Jesus died and exactly what his death on that cross can do for you. The claims of the Bible are fantastic in the truest sense of the word. I mean, like fantasy, they just don't make sense. Jesus Christ has abolished death. There's still people dying everywhere. And Jesus said, I am he that was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore and hold the keys to death and hell. How could someone find everlasting life through the gospel and yet still be subject to death? I'm going to share that with you. Do you think you're a good person?
I like to think so, yeah.
Do you think there's a heaven?
I do.
How do you get there?
Honestly, I personally believe it's just being a good person. That's your ticket in.
Okay, now I'm going to give you a scenario just so you understand what's going to happen. Let's say I'm a doctor, you're a patient, you think you're very well. I've seen x-rays and I know you're dying. You've got 2 weeks. I've got a cure, but I'm not going to give you the cure straight away. I want you to see the x-rays because you're not going to appreciate and appropriate the cure if you don't believe you're diseased. Now you think you're morally well. I'm going to show you the x-rays, the Ten Commandments. Can you handle that?
Yes.
I'm going to try and change your mind about being a good person.
Hmm.
Because what you're doing is trusting in a parachute that's full of holes. I want to take it off you and give you a parachute that's trustworthy. Can you handle being a bit uncomfortable?
Yeah, for sure.
Are you a good person?
I think I am, yeah.
Let's go to the 10th commandment. Have you ever desired something to belong to somebody else?
Yes.
The first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. Do you put God first in your life? Do you love him with your heart, mind, soul, and strength?
I like to think that I do.
So you do love God?
Yes.
You ever used his name in vain?
On accident, yeah.
How could it be on accident?
It's just like you're surrounded by it everywhere, so then it just slips out occasionally. And
so would you ever use your mother's name as a cuss word if everybody was doing it?
No.
Of course not, because you respect her. Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Yes, I have.
Yes.
I'm not going to lie, I have used it a few times, and I felt guilty over that, and I did pray after about it, asking for forgiveness, because I know that's not a good thing.
Sometimes it slips out.
So, Colby, you don't love God if you've used his name as a cuss word. Instead of saying the S word, you've used God's name in his place. You've taken the name of the God that gave you a mother, that gave you life, and used it to express disgust. That's called blasphemy. Very serious. It's punishable by death.
I lie to people, little white lies, but
have you stolen anything from anyone?
No, not stolen, no.
Is that one of your little white lies?
No.
Okay, you believe in God?
Yes.
So God is your witness if you tell me the truth?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you going to lie to me? Have you ever taken anything that belongs to somebody else in your whole life, irrespective of its value?
Only once.
So you've told a lot of lies and you're a thief, is that right?
Yeah.
Stolen something?
I stole one time, yeah.
You stole one time?
One time, you know, and I went to confession. I confessed that, but other than that, I don't steal.
Have you ever been disobedient to your parents?
Yeah.
Have you lied and stolen?
Yeah.
You were looking at the x-rays, and they're not good, not pleasant to look at because they're showing you you're diseased morally. Jesus said if you look at a woman and lust for her, you commit adultery with her in your heart. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
Oh, I wouldn't say lust.
Okay, when did you last look at pornography?
I don't know.
Just recently, huh?
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, that's lust. That's committing adultery in your heart when you do that. Have you had sex out of marriage?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
What in the world is Ray Comfort doing asking people such personal questions? When's the last time you looked at pornography? Have you had sex outside of marriage? Is Ray a glutton for punishment? Is he waiting for someone to punch him in the nose? Because that's what you think is going to happen. Why does Ray do this? He does it because he cares about people. As you can imagine, even though his name is Ray Comfort, this is very uncomfortable for him. But he wants people to understand the seriousness of their sins in the sight of a holy God. That's why you'll often see Ray take people through the Ten Commandments. The Bible tells us that the law of God, the Ten Commandments, is a schoolmaster to bring people to Christ. One of those Ten Commandments says, do not make for yourself graven images. And then it goes on to say not to bow before them. In other words, don't worship them. Unfortunately, this is something that we regularly see done in Catholicism. However, most Catholics will tell you, wait a minute, we're not worshiping these images. We're not worshiping the saints and Mary. But isn't it really just semantics when you think about it? Imagine your doctor says to you, hey, you're having surgery tomorrow, and so I don't want you to eat any solid foods. You go, no problem, doctor. So you go home, you get some chicken, you get some meat, you get some vegetables, you throw them in a blender, you blend everything up, and then you drink it. The next day you go to your doctor, he's getting ready to do the surgery, he does a little ultrasound to make sure everything's clear. He says, wait a minute, I told you not to eat any solids. And you look at him and you say, no, no, doctor, I didn't eat any solids. I drank my nutrients. You see the semantics there? Catholics say no, they don't worship Mary or the saints. That's their official teaching. They're not supposed to. But what is it really in practice when you're bowing down before something, praying to it, when you're lighting incense to it, when you're putting wreaths around it, when you're carrying it and paying homage to it? These are all acts that are in keeping with worship. So in reality, it just becomes semantics. You can say, oh, no, no, I didn't eat any solids. I drank my nutrients. You can say, oh, no, no, I'm not worshiping the saints or Mary or these images. No, I'm just respecting them and showing them honor. Friends, at the end of the day, it's worship. And it's idolatry, and it's sinful and wrong in the sight of a holy God. Watch now how people continue to react when they're told they've broken God's commandments, and watch what happens because of that.
Here's a quick summation. I'm not judging you. This is for you to judge yourself. Gabriel, you've told me you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous, fornicating, adulterer at heart, who's self-righteous and saying you're good when it's obvious you're not. You're like the rest of us.
Does that mean everyone is going to go to hell?
Well, it means everyone's under the death sentence. The Bible says death is wages that God pays you for your sins. Scripture says the wages of sin is death. In other words, your death is evidence that God is deadly serious about sin. You've told me that you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous, fornicating, adulterer at heart. If God judges you by those Ten Commandments on Judgment Day, you're going to be innocent or guilty?
Guilty.
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 Would you go to heaven or hell?
Probably hell.
More than likely hell.
Now, does that concern you?
Yeah.
It horrifies me, Colby. I've just met you, but I love you, and the thought of you going to hell takes my breath away. Now, does that concern you?
Pretty like that, yeah, because, like I said, I come from a very Catholic family, so it's, you know, confess your sins and God will forgive you and, you know, like everything will be okay. But if you put it like he's going to judge me, like with the Ten Commandments, yeah, it's a little scary.
A little scary? It's terrifying. You know, the Bible says to Christians, wherefore knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. I'm trying to persuade you today that God is angry at sin. You know, if you see a burst of lightning, that's nothing. It's not even God showing his anger. It's just the nature that he created. And the Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. If you look online and you see a judge has given a criminal a $5 fine, what can you conclude about his crime?
That it wasn't a big crime.
You see a judge has given the death sentence to a criminal. What do you conclude about his crime?
That it was worth the death penalty, that it was horrendous.
It was deadly serious. Do you realize the Bible teaches that God has given you the death penalty? Did you know that?
I did not.
Yeah, it says the wages of sin is death. In other words, God is paying you in death for your sins. You've now seen the x-rays. You're going, what should I do? That brings us to the gospel, that good news of everlasting life. Have you heard of Jesus dying on the cross?
Yes.
Of course you have. Everybody has. But they don't know this, and this is what changes everything. The Ten Commandments, that which we've looked at, are called the moral law. You and I broke the law. Jesus paid the fine. That's what happened on the cross. If you're in court and someone pays your speeding fines, a judge can legally let you walk. You can say, oh, these fines are paid by another. You're guilty, but you can go. And God can take the death sentence off us in an instant, not because we're good, but because he's good and kind, and he provided a savior. He can let us go because Jesus paid the fine in full. That's why he said, it is finished, just before he died. He was saying, paid in full. And then he rose from the dead, defeated death. It was not possible that death could hold him. All you have to do to be saved is repent of your sins. Repentance is where you turn from sin. You confess and forsake your sin. You don't play the hypocrite. You repent and you trust in Jesus.
I feel like everybody has to go through hell first to like get cleansed to get into heaven.
You're not even a Catholic.
I know, but it's just some things I've been thinking about.
Well, that's an unbiblical Catholic doctrine. It's saying Jesus didn't do enough on the cross. We have to do something ourselves and go and suffer in a place called purgatory. And there's no such place in Scripture.
In Catholic theology, purgatory is a place where the Catholic soul goes to be cleansed
by fire. So then, therefore, it can be acceptable in the sight of God. Is that what the Bible teaches? No. Listen, if man must pay for or atone for or suffer for their own sins, then Jesus' sacrifice on the cross was not enough. But when Jesus died on the cross, he said, it is finished, right? Paid in full. Tetelestai. It is done. It is complete. The transaction is over. The Father has received the payment, not the bribe. Right? You cannot bribe the judge of the universe. So either Jesus was the perfect, sinless Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, like John the Baptist says, or he wasn't. So the only place that exists is heaven and hell. So you receive the sacrifice that Jesus did, or you atone for your own sins in hell, and you'll never be able to do that because God is perfect. You see, we are saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Grace. And that is the word that people need to study. It's what separates true biblical Christianity and Catholicism and every other worldview. Grace is God's unmerited favor to the infinitely ill-deserving. And though it's true that the Roman Catholic Church teaches grace, it does not teach grace alone. Because we have violated God's moral law, we stand condemned before the holy creator of the universe who will judge the living and the dead. And that is why we are in such great need of God's grace. No good deeds or religious rituals will get us out of this spiral downward trajectory in which we are heading unless God intervenes alone. Ephesians 1 tells us that in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. You see, Christ is not asking us to clean our lives up. He's commanding us to lay our lives down. It is not an invitation. It is a declaration. And though it is true that there is none who seek after God, the good news of the gospel is that God seeks after man. You know, I like what one commentator said. You know, you're at the closest moment of receiving God's grace, mercy, and forgiveness when you begin to realize that you cannot do anything right. Because our sins are completely forgiven, God will never grab a hold of our sins and shove them in our face and remind us of what a blow it we are. No, right? God does not give His grace by calculated measure. You come underneath the spout where God's grace and mercy and forgiveness come pouring out. And if you're a Christian, you've been forgiven by the only one who can condemn you, because He reached into the dark cavern of your heart and He turned your heart towards Him. God does not dismiss His wrath against sinners by the wave of a magic wand. You see, salvation is a free gift, but it cost the Father everything. Galatians tells us that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, becoming a curse in our place. Christ made it clear that through His substitutionary death, He demonstrated His hatred for sin, yet His love for humanity. And through His obedient life and submissive death, He provided a way for people to be declared righteous in the sight of the holy judge of the universe. Jesus took the punishment that people deserved by willingly laying down His life. You see, Jesus paid a debt He did not owe, because you and I owed a debt we could never pay. If you want to grow in your Christian faith, or you want to know more about what the Christian faith believes concerning certain topics and issues that arise in everyday life, well, then check out our podcast, the Living Waters Podcast.
As it stands, I feel like I should still, in part, take responsibility for my actions and still try to be a good person.
Do you know what that's called?
I don't.
It's got two things wrapped up in it. Number one, self-righteousness, which is a sin, and pride. So I don't want to humble myself and say I'm not good enough. And the Bible says God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Scripture says, he that covers his sins shall not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy. Gabriel, you're so close to salvation. This is your eternity. This isn't who you're going to marry or what you're going to do for a job. This is where you're going to spend eternity. The only thing that can save you is God's mercy. Don't try and earn mercy. It won't work. Just fling yourself on the mercy of God. Can you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah. I'm hearing you.
The hardest people to reach with the gospel are religious people. It's like they've been inoculated. They think they're good enough. When the Bible says there's none good but God. Jesus said, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest to your souls. That rest is speaking of giving up trying to earn heaven, because it's a free gift. You don't have to labor to find everlasting life. It's a free gift of God, so you rest in Christ and what He did on the cross. Is this making sense?
Yes.
You're going to think about what we talked about?
Yes, I am.
When you're born again, he'll give you his Holy Spirit, and that Spirit is life itself. And when there's life, there's no death. It's like when you turn a light on, the darkness leaves. When God puts his Holy Spirit within you and you're born again, born of the Spirit, the presence of life banishes death. So when I die, I go straight into the presence of God. I've got everlasting life as a free gift. Don't have to earn it. Don't deserve it. It comes by God's amazing grace. Is this making sense?
Yes.
You're going to think about what we talked about?
Most definitely.
When are you going to repent and put your faith in Christ?
I'm going to try to confess my sins on Sunday.
Gabriel, confessing your sins won't do anything for you. It's like confessing to the judge you committed the crime. He's going to say, good, we've got a confession out of you. You need to be born again. You need to repent and put your faith in Christ. And don't wait till Sunday, man. You could die between now and Sunday. A lot of people die in their sleep, aneurysm, car accident, cancer. You just don't know when you're going to go. So there's a tremendous sense of urgency. The Bible says, today if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. And the thing that will stop you coming to Christ is your love of pornography. The devil's going to whisper in your ear, tomorrow, tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. That's what the Bible says. So when are you going to repent and put your faith in Christ?
Today.
The Roman Catholic Church says to be saved, you must be a Roman Catholic. You must take the Eucharist or the Mass. You must repent. You must confess your sins to the priest. You must do this. You must do that. The Bible says there's nothing you can do that comes as a gift from God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We can't earn eternal life by doing anything religious. It comes because of God's amazing grace. So when you trust in the grace of God, God remits your sins, grants you everlasting life as a free gift, and then you live a life of goodness, not to try and earn heaven, but because you're grateful to God for forgiveness of sins. And he's given you heaven. Can you see the difference? One is trying to bribe God by doing good works, and the other is doing good works because God's shown you mercy. The Bible says, to them that sat in the shadow of death, a light has sprung up. That's talking about the birth of Jesus. You are sitting in the shadow of death. You're not going anywhere. You can't do anything about it. You can't run from it. It's coming for you. It's called the Grim Reaper. But to them that sat in the shadow of death, a light has sprung up. That's the Savior. And if you take light into darkness, the darkness leaves instantly. And if you allow the light of the gospel in your life, death will leave you instantly. So you've got a choice today. You can continue in sin, the pleasures of sin, fornicating with your gorgeous girlfriend, looking at pornography. Or you can say, that's going to lead me to hell because God's holy. And you say, God, forgive me. Create a clean heart in me, and he'll do it, man. It'll be a personal miracle.
I do appreciate the insight and the teachings you've given me about a little bit of God and Jesus that I did not even haven't heard of or haven't read about.
Do you have a Bible at home?
I do.
Have you heard of the Bereans in the book of Acts?
I don't.
The Bible says they were very noble, and when they heard the Apostle Paul speak, it said they searched the scriptures daily to see if those things were so. So don't just believe what I'm saying, because this is your eternity that's involved. Check it out in the Bible. Just open the Bible and say, God, if what that guy was saying is true, please lead me, because my eternity's at stake. We're talking about heaven and hell. Would you sell an eye for $1 million?
No.
What about 10 million?
No.
Give you 100 million cash for both of your eyes?
No.
You wouldn't even think of it. But your eyes are merely the windows of your soul. So how much more is your life worth? So when are you going to repent and trust Jesus?
As soon as I can. As soon as probably the interview's done.
When you repent and trust Christ, then you'll be born again. God will give you a new heart with new desires. You'll come out of the kingdom of darkness into light. You'll come to know God, and you'll have a knowledge that you are saved from God's wrath. You have eternal life, all because of his mercy. That's called being born again. So when are you going to repent and put your trust in Christ?
As soon as possible, I guess.
As soon as possible?
Yes.
What about now?
Okay.
When are you going to repent and put your faith in Christ?
As soon as I can.
Can we do it now?
Yes, indeed.
So when are you going to repent and trust in Christ?
Now, today.
As soon as possible.
Today?
If I can.
So when are you going to repent and put your faith in Christ?
Now.
You're going to think about what we talked about?
Yeah.
I do appreciate you coming to my life at this moment.
Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? And at the moment, you're unsaved. And salvation is as close as your mouth, the Bible says. If you just confess Christ as Lord and say, I trust him for my salvation, you'll pass from death to life. You've got God's promise on it. May I pray with you?
Yes.
Father, I pray for Junior. I thank you for his open and honest heart. I pray he'll be genuinely sorry for his sins through Jesus on the cross. And this day, may he repent. May he be born again today and pass from death to life. I pray that he'll think seriously about his secret sins and how you proved your love by Jesus dying on the cross and rising from the dead. And may today she find a place of genuine, true repentance. I pray this day she'll see sin in its true light, that it's deadly serious, and that she'll see your love expressed in the cross. And they'll understand what you did for him on that cross and be born again with a new heart, new desires. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, here's a coin with the Ten Commandments on one side and the Gospel on the other.
Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome. The reason it looks like a bundle of millions of dollars is because it's more precious than all the money in the world. It tells you how to find everlasting life. Do you think you'll read it?
Yes. Probably by tonight.
The most important decision that you're going to take in your life is who you're going to marry or what are you going to study, but that's not. The most important decision is to accept Jesus as your Savior. The time in this world is this tiny. The rest is forever.
Whether you're a Catholic or you're not a Catholic, we really hope that you see that this was all, as I said at the beginning, a mission of love. We care about our Catholic friends, and we want them to know that genuinely. And if you're a Catholic and you happen to be watching this video, our hope is that you will recognize the truth that you must be born again. That if you have adhered to the false teachings of the Catholic Church, that you would repent of that and you would recognize that Christ is the only means that God has provided through which we must be saved. It's not of works. It's based on His grace, and it happens through faith. And so turn to Him. Receive that free gift as a former Catholic, did, and as many other Catholics have. And if you're not a Catholic and you're watching this and you are a born-again believer, then care enough about your Catholic friends to tell them the truth. Because, friends, eternity is at stake.
What are you doing to me? What's going on here?
Yeah, we're sending out Gospels of John, these little fellas, a million of them, in boxes of 200 each.
We feel like giddy little kids that we're actually able to do this now. You know, I mean, we're working here. We're in the midst of, you know, busyness and getting everything done. But this is translating into these getting into the hands of Christians all across the country. And not a million people, but a million homes are going to get the Gospel. Think of how many people in those homes are going to read that, right?
And it's God's Word. It's not just a book. This is the Gospel of John. That's what makes us super excited. Yeah.
And look at, who's not going to pick this bad boy up? You know, as Christians, we often figuratively pray for God to open doors for us to get the Gospel out. But we did it literally today. Check out Ray Comfort and the big door that's open for him to get the Gospel out. Eyes closed. Well, that stinks.
Oh, perfect.
Oh,
excellent.
Good.
Here we go. Enjoy. Have a good day.
Got something for you guys. I'm giving away stacks of millions.
Enjoy. Have a good one. When I mentioned this, the first conception of it to my editor, who's brilliant, she says, you can't do that. You can't have a book without a title, without a spine title, without anything on the back. But I'm so glad we did it because Brad Snow, our graphic artist, did an incredible job.
Oh,
so incredible. The first time I saw the artwork, I said, Brad, you're going to get me in jail. So it's just too real. And he said, nothing on this is real. It's all perceived reality.
Yeah.
And so he did a wonderful job.
Well, and you know, we're shipping these out in boxes like this, but we have something at Living Waters called the Vault as well that Ray came up with.
This Gospel of John contains something of infinitely more value than all the money, all the gold in the world. And so it's to be valued, so we keep them in what's called a vault, and you can store 100 of these in a vault, and when they get down, there's a little card that says it's time to re-vault.
It gives an added element of excitement, you know, the vault and the way these things look, and again, the concept of people just driving their cars, just tossing them in their neighborhood, and thinking that God's Word is getting in
and it doesn't return void.
Amen.
First time I ever did this, I thought, I wonder if this would work if you toss the books up driveways. And I did about, I don't know, 30, 40 homes, went back 3 days later, and only one that I'd missed tossed hadn't been picked up. So I thought, wow, this is a way to get God's Word into the homes, not just at a supermarket or something like that, actually into the homes. And as Easy said, who's not going to pick this up from the driveway?
The thought that all your neighbors are getting the Gospel delivered in their home, it's just a thrilling thought.
And by the way, those 1 million copies of the Gospel of John were given away free of charge by our ministry, and we even paid for the shipping. We've produced a booklet called How a Catholic Can Be Sure of Heaven. It's a word-for-word transcript of the full interview with this young man. video. In other words, it contains a complete gospel presentation. And on the back is a QR code that will take them directly to this video. You can get the booklet on livingwaters.com. Watch this young Catholic lady embrace the gospel and say that it was mind-opening. You can watch it right now by clicking up to your left.
Mercy saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. And that renewing of the Holy Ghost is in reference to the new birth. Indeed, Jesus said, John 3:7, it is written, marvel not, but I said unto thee, ye must be born again. And John chapter 1, verses 11 through 13 declares, and he came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, John 3:16. And Romans 5:6 declares, when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. You know, no purgatory, it's either heaven or hell when you die. Reincarnation is a lie of the devil. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, put your faith in him alone. Whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Psalm 9:17 declares, the wicked shall return to hell and all the nations that forget God. I will now close this in a word of prayer, and I will let Kenny conclude with the invitation psalm. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for another opportunity to once again bring forth your word, bring forth your gospel here on the word of the King, and expose the unfruitful works of darkness, Spirit of God, in this present evil world. And we thank you once again for Christ. I mean, we've been made a curse for us, that we might be redeemed from the curse of the law. And even so, dear God, I thank you, dear God, for redeeming me, dear God, from the curse of the law, and for drawing me, and for causing me by grace through faith, that not of myself, to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray for any lost souls listening, dear God, that have yet to be delivered from the blindness that sin, death, and the god of this world, the devil, has put upon them. I pray for such souls, dear God, listening to this program, and even now as I pray, dear God, that they would, dear God, call upon you, dear God, to oppose not themselves tomorrow, if they know not what they may bring forth, before they give up the ghost, and they lift up their eyes as a vessel of wrath to destruction in the flames of hell. Save their souls, quicken them from Dennis trespasses and sins, praise you, give you thanks, and help my brothers and sisters in Christ tonight, go forth now, all the more, and bear fruit for your honor, for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Until next time, this is Brother Timothy Groover saying, God bless you and yours. Okay, Kenny.
And we just want you to know, as it was stated in that last clip, salvation is free for all. So here we go with our invitational song. And remember, the gospel is free, and Jesus died for all sinners. Free. Amen. That's right, dear listener. Salvation is free for all. And this here has been the Word of the King here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. This is Missionary Wolfgang saying God bless, and we'll catch you tomorrow for the Wednesday night Bible study here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, 7 p.m. Eastern here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. God bless everybody, and we'll catch you tomorrow.